stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
You are now listening to Meridian Arts.
The story you're about to hear is true. It takes place in the wild world of rap and contains mature content that may not be appropriate for all audiences. Like N.W.A. said,
parental discretion's advised.
Peace, y'all. My name is Parker Edison. I'm an artist and I'm fascinated by the impact of rap writers. Hip-hop's 50th anniversary yielded a ton of articles and interviews on the subject. Being the black rap nerd that I am, I started to notice certain cities have something about their contribution that makes them unique. San Diego is one of those cities for a couple of reasons. I got with some close friends I've been discussing rap with. We created this series to break it all down. I'm gonna map the whole thing out, but here's the deal. This isn't the history of hip-hop. This isn't a complete timeline, but it is what happened. Some details will be left out. When we talk about the civil rights movement, there's thousands of names involved, but we tell the tale with the key ones. Rosa, Martin, Malcolm. Keep that in mind while you're listening to this. This is about San Diego rap and the incredible way it got where it is today. Are you ready? Well, let's go. This is a San Diego story.
We are love, we are light. Put your hands in the air.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are light. Put your hands in the air if you're feeling all right. We are love.
Next level experience here in Egypt for me has been almost indescribable. It's so beautiful. I cry literally every day, just tears of joy. I'm just emotionally overwhelmed by all of this. This is one of the most beautiful things I've ever been a part of. And I'm grateful, grateful.
This season is heavy with contributions from a skilled set of writers. At the same time, as the primary decision maker, I hold the responsibility of curating what we present. I hope to archive the birth and evolution of SD Rap, but it's important for me to do so authentically. For all intents and purposes, this is a historical document, but it's also a personal account. I'm a rap fan.
I got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
In this episode, we're discussing the presence of women in San Diego rap. It's important to note that there's a limited number, but if we're equals, we can address this situation honestly and recognize the exceptional qualities of those we know. There is a glass ceiling and a level of oppression in rap, and that oppression exploits all who participate. I can't definitively say if the lower count of women is directly caused by this oppression. I can focus on telling this leg of the story through the work of women to better convey the impact of their contributions. In episode 1, DJ Gil told us how his first rap demo with his Mid-City crew featured MC Stephanie Payne.
I'm SD Payne and I'm not ashamed. Say the man upstairs, he ain't playing no games. He can come anytime like a thief in the night. He can make you real happy or feel life with fright. But I myself, I don't worry about, because I tell you party people what I'm all about.
Women are integral to every aspect of rap. In our previous episode, we had the opportunity to hear from Mad Joker, who provided insights into the industry side of things. As his interview concluded, he happened to introduce us to Majesty, a pioneering woman from an early phase of rap in San Diego.
She can tell you her own quick little story, but this one right here, oh my God, the greatest, hardest woman. And her story is crazy because she was at the first B-Boy Summit 1 and 2. Ladies and gentlemen, Majesty from Two Guns Drawn, that is our crew. Say something, baby, real quick.
Like he said, I kicked off in the underground hip-hop community in the early 90s as well. I was one of the first girls out here rocking. Had a record called Depths of the Underground. Some of the OGs know me. And it was at the tip of my fingertips as well. Almost had a deal with Tommy Boy. And I really rocked it hard for the females. And I would just dip in and dip out. And then, you know, life took me where it did. I got married, had children, featured on a couple of things here and there. But the Depths of the Underground was the only record that came to fruition.
This theme will be revisited later in this episode. Not everyone stays in the game for a long time. Sometimes it's about the impact. Majesty name-checked Tommy Boy. Yet again, San Diego yielding label-quality artist. That was the early 90s. There were other ladies' hands pinning lines around that time. In episode 2, DJ Jam gave us the scoop on everything from here to LA, which included rapper MC Deb B. Originally associated with Vicious Beat Posse, she continued her career when the group slowed down.
DJ Gill, he had four groups, and I DJed for the female solo rapper in the posse called MC Deb B. Signed to MCA Records, once again, now we're in a studio, Paramount Studios in LA, recording the album. The girl that I DJed for was nice. Like, she looked nice and everything. You know, she was dope, right? Somehow, I don't know, between what, maybe we went out one night as a crew to a club or whatever, and she met Dre. So Dre started coming to the apartment where we would all stay, you know, just to come and chill and kick it with her. But when he would come over and they would chill, whatever, we'd go and do whatever we're doing. But it was cool. Dre was there, you know what I mean? So that happened.
MC Deb B didn't sign with Dr. Dre or Interscope, but she did record a couple tracks around that time, like this one. Is it for the fact that Pac don't be faking? Let's take before you talk black. I ain't the one to bite my tongue. Chewbacca looks a smoke back. You ever heard of that guy? He did a couple tracks with Dr. Dre. His name is, we'll come back to that. Let's fast forward. There's another guy on that track you might want to check out. What about him? Recognize him? That's an unreleased track called Break 'Em Off Some. Features Tupac Shakur, Dub C before he was in West Side Connection, Money B of the legendary group Digital Underground, and MC Deb B. Deb was putting in work. In 1991, she was part of Sisters in the Name of Rap.
Pump it up! Here's Miss Body and Soul herself, your Sisters in the Name of Rap MC, Dynamic D Barnes.
Yo, yo, what's up, what's up? I'm glad to see everybody made it here on time, chilling at the Ritz in New York. Make some noise, y'all! Yeah, you know what time it is? We got Yo, Yo, we got MC Light, Salt and Pepper. They all, you know, and Queen Latifah, everybody's getting ready to rock it. I'm telling you, we got a lot more rappers out there. We get ready to do this.
The Sisters in the Name of Rap concert was a historic event in the rap industry, showcasing talented rappers such as Queen Latifah, Salt and Pepper, MC Light, Yo-Yo, Roxanne Shanté, and San Diego's MC Deb B. The concert was hosted by D Barnes of Fox TV's Pump It Up and emphasized themes of self-reliance and demanding respect. A copy of the concert is preserved in a collection at the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. As I've said before, what happens in the macro happens in the micro. There were ladies making noise in the underground too. Episode 4 introduced you to Orko and the Masters of the Universe crew, whose moody melodies dabbled near acid jazz in the mid-90s. Smack dab in the middle of their Back to the Future compilation, we hear a track titled Existence, featuring Authentic, whose sonic nimbleness draws you in.
When God created Earth, I was the first substance produced. Existing from the start, leaving settled from the youth. The genetic codes and criminal MCs who are generic. So when they throw out pitches, it seems to have no merit.
No,
studies have shown authentic sounds from the unknown, but still proves the point to test me when I'm experimenting. Deriving minds out of mental projects, even the immune systems are strong enough.
Fun fact. In episode 6, we had the opportunity to listen to rapper and producer Larry Love discussing his Critical Mind State compilation. It's worth noting that Larry Love's sister is Authentic, showcasing the interconnectedness within the industry and further highlighting the significant role women consistently play in San Diego's rap scene. Why is it challenging to readily list women who've made significant contributions in San Diego rap? One factor may be that we tend to evaluate women's success using criteria designed for men, which may not completely reflect their achievements. Women often juggle multiple roles in their lives, such as being a daughter, student, professional, and parent simultaneously. Maybe we should view women in rap through a lens similar to how we perceive versatile athletes like Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, or Michael Jordan, appreciating their ability to excel in various disciplines with equal proficiency. I think another significant factor lies slightly less in gender, and more in the business aspects of the industry. I met with producer and studio engineer Chauncey Godson Chamberlain to get an insider's confirmation.
How come San Diego hasn't had more successful women MCs?
I'm gonna be honest. This one, you know, it really does have to do with our industry. Mm-hmm. It's already slow for men. So for women, it's really got to be a push. You know what I'm saying? That's got to be a different campaign for a woman to be successful. I mean, back in the day, it was a whole different ball game for women in rap, you know? Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you know what I'm saying, for women to rap, we all know they got to bust it down to the final move. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Whereas back then, you know, we had Layla, who, you know, KRS-One deemed her best female rapper, you know what I'm saying, of the West Coast at that time. She did all that through her talent. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And her style. Mm-hmm. Everybody back then had a style.
Godson mentioned Layla Aziz. You'll hear more about her in a couple of weeks. For right now, just focus on that idea of the push. The legwork necessary to get an album single off the ground. After recording and producing the album, this can include photos, marketing, artwork, audience analysis. Historically, cities with a track record of successful releases, Detroit, New York, Philadelphia, these resources are already in place long before artists need to utilize them. Our rap scene lacks that infrastructure, and while we all suffer for it, it's possible women pay a higher price. After this quick break, we'll hear from two accomplished rappers and recipients of San Diego Music Awards. Stick around.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.
Welcome back. We're delving into the world of women rocking mics in San Diego. Our rap scene is diverse with sections such as Southeast, South Bay, each with its own unique sound. San Diego's vibrant indie rock scene naturally attracts rappers with a similar vibe. These rappers are heavy in coastal areas and beach clubs. I connected with a rapper who can shed light on this distinct intersection.
Here I am, November 5th, head spinning round in this monumental moment. I can feel the change rolling in. Everything is different now. The storm cloud is lifting. How different the future looks with hope within the White House now.
What's your name and what do you do?
My name is Abby Dorsey. I'm a songwriter and aspiring ukulele player living in North Park, San Diego. Probably best known music-wise for my rap project, MC Flow, which was the name I performed under for many years. As I'm starting to get back into music again, I'm performing under my own name. I'm doing kind of much different work, but still rap every once in a while when it feels right.
How'd you start writing raps?
I started writing probably, it was early 2000s. I was living with friends who were all musicians. I wanted to be involved in what they were doing. I wanted to participate. And I had been doing spoken word, rapping and turning into like the lyrical side of songwriting was the easiest first like bridge into music that I could take and to also express myself and things that I thought were important. I started doing this also at such an interesting time in like the birth of social media. Like, so when I was first starting, it was like MySpace time. And it was, you know, you wanted to put a song on your profile. It was the beginning of this idea and this new way that anybody, you know, could have access to sharing music with the world. I never really saw it so much as like an income source. It was a dream income source, but I definitely hit a point where I was like, yeah, I'm ready for people to hear me. I would love to have more distribution. And I think the fact that it just kind of happened to coalesce with this time where social media was starting to take off, it just kind of happened on its own. It was very homegrown at the beginning and always, pretty much.
When you came in, what was the San Diego rap scene like?
It seemed like it was spread out in pockets. It didn't feel necessarily like there was a hub or a built-in web of connection. I was an artist that kind of had one foot in the rap scene and one foot in more of like the coffee shop and singer-songwriter type scene. Some of my shows for sure were straight up shows where I would go and just do one song in like a hip hop showcase. Ways that I got involved was actually, I'm dating myself again, aside from MySpace, now I'm going to go Craigslist, was that I responded to a Craigslist ad for like a community hip hop group that was actually called The Community at the time. And like we would meet in a guy's garage in OB and we would play our tracks and we would, you know, try to support each other. And some of the first shows that I did were showcases of artists from that group. I played indie rock shows as much as I played rap shows. So I don't know that I'm the best to speak to exactly what the scene was like, but I will say that it always felt, for the most part, supportive to me. I feel like everything has its own scene and it's constantly changing. But we did North County rap shows and they had their own vibe. We did do some beach shows. I don't know that I did too many shows in OB, but I did a few like PB type beach shows. I feel like the thing with me was always about winning over the crowd, like getting in there. And oftentimes people would be surprised. Like I would come up on stage and if they weren't familiar with me and then suddenly I would start performing, there was like a moment of shock.
The listeners can't see you, so I'm gonna fill them in on something.
Mm-hmm.
You're white.
Right. Ding, ding, ding. Very.
Do you think your being white or a woman had an effect on how you were received in rap?
Definitely. There were positives and negatives to both. Anytime an artist comes into a space and they're different from the norm, they're going to stand out. People would say, oh my God, she looks like a soccer mom. It's like a rapping soccer mom. You know, it was attention catching for some people. But that only goes so far, right? And whether you're going to be valued or respected really comes down to your work and what you do and your music. As a woman, definitely there were times that early on, I remember at one rap show in particular, early on, that a guy came up to me and asked me who wrote my raps. And I thought that was wild that somebody would say that. And that gave me more fuel for what I was doing and what I wanted to do. Women in any musical genre, like there's so many standards and expectations of what female artists should look like and present like in a lot of ways that I think still exist. So when I did a song about Proposition 8 called Created Equal, like I got a lot of hate online for being an out queer artist. And that was hard. That was the first time that I really felt like, wow, you know, when you put your work out there, you're opening yourself up to all different people's opinions. And sometimes it's positive and sometimes it's painful. I'm not going to be for everybody, and that's fine.
And you touched on the track Created Equal on your song Created Equal, which is, I believe, in 2008, which is maybe 4 years before Macklemore follows the same, kind of touches on the same topic in 2012. Was there a specific incident that occurred that led you to write the song?
Yeah, it was the election and the sort of experiencing the joy and sense of progress of seeing our country elect our first Black president at the same time as Proposition 8 was passing and moved forward in California. You know, looking back at that song now, I'm like, it's really more of like a spoken word piece than it is a rap song. I mean, it doesn't have a hook. It's like 4 minutes long or something ridiculous. Mm-hmm, It's really more of a spoken word piece. It was really just me like working through all my thoughts and feelings about it. And I got to perform it at San Diego Pride and had my friends on the main stage at Pride holding all the letters that said Created Equal. And like, it was definitely a cool moment, something that I was very proud of. And I think for me, you know, you ask also like, how did I get into rapping? I think also like I was a young person who was a feminist and who was queer and had like things that I wanted to express and say. And for me, rap was a way to tap into some of that and express some of those things. Definitely, for sure, we have queer MCs and a few female queer MCs, you know, like I wasn't the only one. So that's amazing.
Is there a section or a pocket of women in rap in San Diego, in your experience?
In my experience, yes. I met a lot of female artists over the years in San Diego. And of course, you know, I'm a huge fan and friend of Mickey Vale, who, you know, was performing and playing out shows like at the same time as me. And now, you know, she's taken her career into this whole like theatrical next stage and moved on to Soul Kiss Theater and the Old Globe and all these other amazing things that she does. So yeah, I feel like there always have been female MCs here who have been doing really great things. Back when in North Park, there was a shop called The Rubber Rose, which was like a really cool woman-owned sex shop. And Leah, the owner there, she did like a Women in Hip Hop festival one year and brought in some like incredible DJs and performers and had workshops. And I would say for me, that was like the apex, but I haven't seen so much of that. But I will be the first to admit that I haven't been out there as much since COVID. So
what part of your rap career are you proudest of?
I think probably some of the work I did around cannabis. I did a project and a song called Oh Charlotte, which was about Charlotte Figge, who was one of the first documented pediatric cannabis patients whose parents used CBD oil to treat her for Dravet syndrome, which is like a severe form of epilepsy. I wrote a song about that and then was able to partner with San Diego troubadour Jason Mraz on that song. And he brought me to Red Rocks to perform that song live, and we had Charlotte's family come, and that for me was just a super proud moment.
Now everybody's looking at Charlotte, steady growing each day, steady out there on your bike riding with Maxwell and Chase, already out there taking hikes with a smile on your face, beaming on the school bus pulling away. Oh Charlotte, the word is getting around about the power of the plant and the answers you found. Oh Charlotte, we're gonna make you proud, we're gonna chant your name, break the barriers down.
There's a bold defiance in the rap music women make, similar to the spirit of gangster music. They navigate through challenges embodying a rebellious spirit. Plus, a lot of female rappers draw from their personal experiences and realities. That's a tangent. MC Flo's mention of Mickey Vail is especially timely, considering she's the next interview we have queued up for you. Listen in close. Mickey tells interviewer Chris Reyes how life experiences can play into shaping the careers of female rappers.
My name is Mickey Vail, and I am in the city of San Diego, Kumeyaay land. I've made some cool music, and I've written some cool plays, and I've toured, I've traveled extensively, traveled the world, and yeah, all pretty cool accomplishments, things that I'm happy about and proud of.
How would you say you got your start in SD hip hop?
I got my start in SD hip hop with a group from the 90s called 9MM. They were in the Mira Mesa area in the 90s, and I had moved here. And a friend of mine who I moved here with, she was going to San Diego State, and she was in some sort of class where she was using a studio there, a recording studio. And she wanted all of us as group of friends to record a song. And so some of the people couldn't, some of our friends had never written a song and didn't know how. And so I wrote a lot of the lyrics for the song and for them, and like trained them on how to say the lyrics. And we were really just having fun in San Diego State's studio. And I played it for my friends in 9MM, and they were like, whoa, you got serious bars, like serious, serious bars. And it wasn't something that I was, you know, I wasn't trying to bar out. Their reaction to it was like, oh, okay. And then they wanted me to rap on their songs. It's like, cool, okay, now I'm rapping on their songs. And so I would say that was my start in San Diego, in San Diego hip hop.
Do you have early influences style-wise?
I loved Bahamadia. I loved Ladybug from Digital Planets. I just loved their like chill, cool styles that they had.
Anybody locally?
Nah, just kidding. no, I'd have to say the guys in 9MM, especially Casey Dredd and Tion, there was a bunch of them. Red, I was really inspired by their bars, because they were heavy bars. You know, they were like clever, you know, really thought out, intricate rhyme schemes and stuff. And I really liked that. And smart, like intelligent bars.
Was there like very obvious things that were affecting you? Were there things that were very obvious and in your face, like, these are happening because I'm a woman?
The main thing I can think of at the moment is that was very obvious because I was a woman, was just people wanting to me it was like pretending you want to work with me so that you can get close to me. And I fell for it a few times, until one time this guy who was such a dope producer, it was, to me at the time, I was like, what a missed opportunity. We could have made some real cool music together. But he weaseled his way into my home by saying, I'm going to bring some beats. And I'm like, cool, come over, let's work. And then he came empty handed, no beats, no intention of no beats, just smiling in my face. And I was like, man, I can't.
This is definitely happening. And it's not a secret. It's even come up in other interviews. Check this out.
Hey, this is DJ Artistic Art Mitchell, San Diego Best DJs, Snow Circuit DJs, and I'm so happy to be here with you on this beautiful day.
I was talking to Mickey Vail about this. When it comes to female MCs in San Diego, was there a lack of numbers, or was there a lack of opportunity, or was there a lack of the girls showing up to do the art?
Right. So I'd have to say, in like a 20-25 year period, I can't name 10 female MCs off the top of my head. So I would think that there's a lot of different factors. One is, can I be a female in this culture and be respected as a artist, or somebody gonna try to catch feelings? So I think that dynamic of it probably has something to do with back then, and even now, it was really a male-dominated kind of art.
Are women in SD hip hop, are they a rarity, or are they prevalent?
I don't think women in SD hip hop are a rarity. Maybe as far as, I don't know if longevity is the right word, but staying the course, staying the hip hop course, maybe many go on to do other things, you know? Life happens, adulting happens, growing up happens, and focuses can be often taken away from things that we grew up doing. Or, you know, sometimes you can't continue to spread yourself so thin to do it all, and some things fall to the wayside. So I think men tend to have, from what I observe, a very a higher level of tunnel vision for that thing. Like, they can push everything else out. And that could be, you know, got kids, can't really worry about them right now. Mom's got them, I got to do this thing. And I think, in my opinion, that's why men tend to excel in certain things and have these, you know, high level professional careers, sports or whatever it is, because they are able to just focus on that thing only. Male people have more of a propensity for that than women. And so women, they have kids, I'm going to focus on my family. I can't really focus on this thing anymore. And I feel like men tend to be the opposite.
Women in the scene. If you had to go, these people are influential. For me, they make my list.
Women that I would, that would be on my list, Hata. You know, she had projects out. She was performing, grinding. I think she had some stuff playing on the radio. Princess Leah. Princess Leah was very active back when we had the loft and processions. She would be there killing the mic.
And this is one of many conversations, so maybe you're going to give it to us on
so
another.
Hard.
Yep.
For sure. You know, Candy is actually a really good resource.
I think so,
she
too.
Remembers things, and
I think
she pays attention.
Yeah, she's a scholar, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be closing this episode playing your track from your album. Could you introduce that song?
What's up? This is Mickey Vail, and you are listening to Special Way featuring Rachel Evans, produced by Pursuit Grooves.
To the ounce of be prepared.
This is poetry in motion. Got me laid up wide open with the bond that can't be broken. True as words unspoken. I'm drunk off that love potion number nine. You met me when I was going through troubled times. You stayed with me, prayed with me, taught me how to find divine light at the end of the darkest tunnel. Now I pour the contents of my open heart upon you. And let this love rain down. Others in the past did you like a playground. Swing from your heartstrings, then bounce. So you scared. I got more to the ounce, so be prepared. Cause I'm a big girl, doing big things. Loving your vibe and all the pleasure it brings. Plus I dig your savoir faire. Look deep into my eyes and run your fingers through my hair. Yeah.
From Meridian Arts and KPBS, this is episode 8 of Rap Diego, a San Diego story. Our next episode features conversations with producer Frank Z about North County's often overlooked contributions.
If you came to my mom's bed in South Dover, where I had my studio, all these cats have tagged up the whole door frame. It's still preserved there. Icy Lee, Mos Def, King D, Gangsta Hearn, they're all up there, man. They've all been right here in Oceanside.
Rap Diego is a co-production of KPBS and Meridian Arts. Host and co-creator, Parker Edison. Episodes written by Jay Smith, Chris Reyes, Don Jegger, and Stephen Flex. Extra special thanks to guest writer Melody Harold. Editing by Platform Collection. Music soundtrack by Monday Adams. Executive producer for KPBS is Lisa Jane Morissette, KPBS Director of Audio Programming and Operations. Technical and operational support provided by KPBS technical producer, sound designer, Adrian Villalobos, and KPBS producer, Julio Ortiz Franco. This programming is made possible in part by the KPBS Explore Content Fund. Shout outs in no particular order to Days, Mocha, Judah, Plain Jane, Snow the Product, Lauren DeRose, Audra Day, Rhyme Style Troop, Nina Beretta, and Queen Candy Cole. See y'all soon.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.